and thanks for joining us on Live with Squacky. I'm Val Kelly, your host, also known as Squacky Voice, and I'm so excited about our episode today. We have on Veronica Ferreira. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So, let's start out our session with some fun questions. Who's your favorite animated character?
See, now this one was a really tough one for me because I have so many characters that I like, but if I had to pick, can I pick two? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my all-time favorites is Stitch from the movie Lilo and Stitch because I think he's just like really green. He's blue and he's like, he's this weird alien character, spoiler alert, but he has his connection with Lilo and I just really love how he's just like so weird and crazy and fun and different, and I kind of relate to that, so that's why I would pick him.
That's awesome. So is that your favorite animated movie too, or do you have like something else that's your favorite?
Oh, and then my other favorite character is the Minions from Despicable Me.
Oh, so. Yeah, of course. Those are so cute.
I mean, if there's a TV show for that somewhere down the road, I'll definitely do that. But no, that's actually not my favorite animated film, but my favorite animated show is Big City Greens, and it's just a really fun show that our good friends from college, they are working on, and they have developed this show, and it's just so fun, and I really like it. But yeah.
That's awesome. I've actually seen a few of those scripts over the last few years in auditions and stuff, so that's kind of cool.
I actually interviewed the voice of Tilly, and she was on my show, I think, I don't remember when, way back when, 7th or 8th episode or something like that.
Oh, cool.
And I interviewed her, and it was really cool. Like, she's the voice of Tilly. You would not know that.
That's so awesome. I'll have to go listen. I've listened to a few of your episodes, and I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, I was very excited.
So, do you sing?
So, when I saw this question, I was like, oh, man, I do sing. I have sang for work before. I had to do an animated pilot once, and it was all singing. I was very nervous, and I don't really talk about it a lot because I'm very self-conscious about it, but people don't know that I sing. I've taken singing classes before, singing lessons. I've done a lot of audition singing, so it's something that's a skill to have. But again, like I very, when you asked this question, I was like, oh man, people are going to know that I sing now. So I do sing. I've had to sing for a lot of auditions, so it's just, you know, something that I enjoy doing. So it's not like I'm Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey, but I can hold a tune.
That's awesome. A good skill set to have. So where are you from originally?
I am originally from a place called Saginaw, Michigan, and that is an hour and 40 minutes north of Detroit.
So cool.
It's a small town. It's about 100,000 people, maybe even less than that now. It's not like everybody knows everybody, but it's still a roughly biggish slash small town. So if anybody's listening, hello.
Yay. That's so much fun. So do you have any pets?
I wish. I really do. No, I don't. I was never allowed to have any pets as a kid because I had really bad allergies. But we had betta fish, and his name was Linus. So that's the closest I had to a pet.
Nice.
But if we were to get a pet, I think my husband really wants a dog. So I can't get a cat because I'm allergic. So yay.
Awesome. So how long have you lived in LA for then?
I was doing the math and I was like, I think it's coming up as 9 years.
Whoa.
Which it doesn't feel like it. I moved out here in 2011. So then I was doing the math and I was like, oh, it's going to be 9 years. Oh my gosh. I think that's, you know, a testament to stay at it. And LA is a big city and it can get overwhelming, but don't let it overwhelm you. You know, you just take it, you know, one day at a time.
When you decided to move to LA, were you specifically moving out there to be a voice actor, or did you study something else that you were moving out there for, or what was like the original reason for moving?
Well, I moved for love, and that was a great thing. And I kind of took a hit with my design background because I actually have a degree in design and took a little bit of a hit with that, but that's okay because I've been freelancing and doing other things and projects and things like
that.
What
type of design?
I went to school, a 4-year private art school in Detroit. Industrial design is what I majored in. It's really fun. You design products, anything that people wear, from a ring to a watch, an iPhone, any kind of consumer goods. that's my specialty. So I have a background in that, but I didn't actually move out here for voice acting. It just kind of fell into my lap, I guess, because when I first moved out here, I was like, okay, let's see, what do I want to do? I had no idea, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think when I started working at the Pantages Theater, gosh, that was 2012, 2013, I don't remember. People kept saying to me, my usher friends, they were like, you need to do voice acting. Like, everyone would say it. Like, anytime I'd walk and then I'd meet people, like, you need to do voice acting. You need to do it. And I could hear it for, like, a couple years before I did anything about it. And I was like, you know what? Why not? What's the worst that can happen? And then I took my very first workshop. And I got in that booth. And there was something magical about it. I felt like I was Superman, you know. Even though I'm not. But I felt like I was Superman in the booth. And I did terrible. I was way out of my league with these audiobook narrators. It was an audiobook narration, actually. But
Oh my gosh.
I would picked Harry Potter of all things. and I read through it and it was terrible. I kept stumbling over my words. But I didn't care. I just had this like aha moment and I was like, that's what I want to do. And I just had never I was like shaking. I was like, oh my God, freaking out. And but I think what was so great about it is it why I like voice acting is it's when you go in the booth, you're like Superman. And then when you aren't in the booth, you're like Clark Kent. It's like having this dual personality that no one really sees your face. They just hear your voice.
Yeah, it's definitely such a cool career to have. Like, I love it. From that point where you kind of like discovered that this was something that you loved, did you just take classes from there and things like that?
Yeah, I started taking more classes, more things like it, because I was like, I want to learn more about this. What can I do? And I would start taking classes at Kalmanson and Kalmanson and took some improv classes and anything I could get my hands on. Because I was told, like, in the past, like, ooh, your voice is good. You have a unique voice and no one sounds like me. And I was like, yeah, you probably tell that to everybody. So whereas in comparison, your voice, it's a really high pitch range. But if I really want to, I can apply myself and I can sound like this and I can really talk like that. So it just depends. And I think once I discovered when I was younger, I would put on puppet shows and plays and things for my family all the time. And I would mimic Robin Williams. Anytime I saw him, I would like sit at the TV and watch him like this, you know, like staring intently and watching him and everything like that. So I think that I did all this and I didn't even know that that was creative or in some ways helpful because as an adult doing this, my voice may not have changed, but I certainly have. It's great because then you can be a little character or I can sound like this or whatever. You can sound like whatever you want. You don't have to be bend to a physical personality. You can bend to a vocal personality, if you get my drift.
Yeah, totally. That's so awesome. I think everybody has such an interesting story about how they got started. I feel like a mm-hmm. lot of people kind of fall into it for whatever mm-hmm. reason. Like,
oh, yeah.
When I was little, my dad and I always used to like play these games and stuff. And it was essentially like doing improv, which I really didn't know at the time that it was improv. But was years and years later after I was already in the industry and doing voiceover and acting that I realized like, oh, my dad had been training me and setting me up for this my whole life. And I just didn't even realize it. So it's really interesting how it happens for everybody. You know, everyone has their own unique story. So that's mm-hmm. really cool. So mm-hmm. let's get a little bit more detailed into, like, equipment and stuff. What's one piece of voiceover gear or equipment that you have in your studio that you feel you can't live without?
Obviously, your mic. You can't live without your mic. But I guess besides that, I used to have a Focusrite Scarlett preamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then, spoiler alert, it died on me. And I was like, well, I can't hear out of one ear. So that's not good. So then George Whittam turned me on to this. It's called a Steinberg UR12. And it's a preamp. It's like less than $100. And I love it. It's just so great. I feel like there's a noticeable difference with the quality in terms of the miking. And it's just amazing. It was just the best find ever. It just seems so simple. But this was the most recent purchase I bought. And I was like, this is pretty great. So I would say that.
That's so cool. Yeah, obviously, like, the microphone is super important as well. But I do think that, like, all the other equipment as far as your preamp and all of that is really essential, and knowing how to use it really well.
I think that's key to any, whatever voice audition you have. I think it's not so much the equipment, but it's also the environment, it's a bunch of other factors, but it's also what you bring to the table as an actor. What's your interpretation of that script? And how can you identify with that? And how can you reach people through that?
So what's the best piece of industry advice you've received since you started?
Don't study and do a demo with the same person, because there's a level of professionalism here and it can get sticky really quickly. I'm not going to go into the logistics of it, but think about it for a second. It's like having your doctor and a dentist as the same person. You can't have both, you know, it doesn't make sense. So I think it's important to make sure that you study with whoever you study with and do a demo with whoever you decide to pick.
Yeah, I think it's important to like train with a lot of different people. And then, you know, once you decide to do your demo, you'll know when the time is right. You can't have someone really tell you. Like, your coach can give you guidance, but it's not necessarily like they can say, okay, this is it, we're going to do your demo. I really think it's important to train with a bunch of different people and then sort of make a decision like, okay, I've taken a few sessions with this person, I feel really comfortable with them, and then maybe have that person do your demo, because the demo is so important.
Like, there's so many your calling card.
Yeah, aspects of it that are like really essential for it's sort of the make it or break it kind of point of your career. Like, it's better to have no demo than to have a bad demo. That was advice that a lot of people have given me. But I remember Kari Wahlgren saying that in a keynote address that she did at my conference one time. And she was like, you're better off having no demo than having a bad demo, because that's your calling card. And once you put it out there, people aren't going to forget that you started out with a bad demo. I think that really rang true to a lot of people, because so many people are like in a hurry to get their demo done. They're like, oh, I want to do this. I want to book work. In order to book work, I have to have a demo. And there's all this stuff, you know. But if you're not ready and you have it done and you have it produced, then it doesn't matter, because if it's not well done, if you're not ready for it, then you're not going to book the work anyway and you have to start all over. So it's kind of a tricky situation. Important.
I made sure when I did my first demo that I had studied several classes later. Like, it was like maybe 2 or 3 years before I did a demo, because I was afraid. I was afraid to put out bad stuff. Do I like my demo? Yeah, but you have to start somewhere. You know, it's like a portfolio. If the portfolio is bad, it doesn't highlight your best work. You know, you want to show that you kick butt at whatever you do. And I think that's important.
Definitely. So what would the worst advice that you've received be?
Actually, two things, if that's okay, if I can say two things.
Yeah, of course.
One was that sharing personal information is important in class, and I disagree with that. I don't think that makes you a better actor at all. I think if you want to share it, feel free. But I don't think you should have to share it. I don't think you should be forced into doing something you don't want to do. And that's all I'll say about that. And then the other thing, I keep thinking about it, and it kind of like freaked me out. I don't know if it was bad advice, but I remember someone telling me, I've done so many audiobooks, and it's kind of like waiting tables for me. And I was like, I wouldn't say that if I were you, because to me, audiobooks are really difficult. They're hard. Not everybody can do them. It's a job. And you have to take it seriously. So I was like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
You know, thinking in my head, like, in a way, I just was like, ooh, I still can't get that out of my head. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think audiobooks are definitely not for everyone. Like, I've done a few really short stories, like 7 pages for one and like 17 pages for the next one. And I'm telling you, like, I'm not saying that I would never, ever do an audiobook, but I would definitely need to get like some more essential training to be able to do it well when you're talking about like a really long novel or something like that, because it's such a particular skill set, and those editing skills, like even if you outsource, you still have to have a certain method for recording and doing pickups and all of that kind of stuff. And like, oh my gosh, it's just so time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm so busy that, like I said, I'm not saying I would never do it. I don't want to put that out there, but I'm just saying, like, whew, gotta give some credit to those audiobook people, because, like, that's a...
Yeah, I know a few of them, and it's definitely a skill set. I've done one audiobook. It was only 30 pages, but still, I was afraid to mess it up. It was a children's book, so that kind of was in my wheelhouse, so that was a little bit easier, but still, yeah. I was stressed out about it, because I was like, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I think it's interesting, and I think there's a lot of things with that you can do, and my hat's off to you. I don't know if I have the patience for it, but it's okay.
Yeah, same. I feel like that's one of those things where you almost sort of have to have, like, a certain type of personality to a certain degree mm-hmm. to be able to have the time and the patience. And, like, I really give a lot of credit to people who do that genre, because it's not something that I really do. And so just got to give mm-hmm. those people credit. So what are three goals that you have for yourself to accomplish in 2020?
I think for me, the number one thing is just to take a traditional acting class, because I think that's going to help me elevate my game so much. I've taken a ton of stuff, if you haven't noticed, but I've taken a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of classes, a lot of workshops, a lot of
improv and all, stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. All pertaining to voice acting. But I think a traditional acting class would really, I think it would really help me a lot. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because any type of class that you take, it's amazing. I love studying. I love learning. I love growing. I think that's important, because the moment you stop learning, then you just fall to the bottom of the pack.
I think the best people are constantly training. And I do think it's a great idea to take a traditional style acting class, just because even within a regular acting class, you're going to cover some improv, which you've already taken a lot of anyway. But, like, just the acting methods are so important to learn. Like, mm-hmm. I'll never forget the few years of acting classes that I took. And it just helped so much for me to be able to, like, interpret scripts better and to, like, get into character and figure out who I am as an actor and what my strengths are and what I kind of, like, want to stay away from and what I want to work on and all of those things. And, you know, being in LA, you have so many, like, you seriously have, like, the best resources in the world to choose from. So, I mean, that's definitely, you should totally do it. I'm excited to hear how it goes once you do.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think once the whole epidemic decides to die down, I think then we can go back to in-person, because I miss it.
Yes, totally.
I really do. I think it's important. I'm a hands-on learner, so I think once that dies down and we can get back to normal, I think once I take the traditional acting class, I think it's really going to help me a lot. So I'm excited about that. Number two is just to remind myself that auditioning is the job. I hope I do good on this audition so they can call me back for a callback. No, the audition is the job, and I have to remind myself and keep at it and just, like, you know what, just give it your all. That's all you can do. And if they call you back, that's great. If they don't, you put your heart into it. And I think that's all you can do as an actor. You have to sometimes be vulnerable and have to just let it go and just keep going with it, because I think that's what's ultimately going to make you better. Just remember that every audition you do, that's the job. And have that mindset and the mentality. That's the thing about it, is when I first started, I was terrible. I was bad. But you have to be bad in order to be good.
It's definitely a learning process, for sure.
There's some people that just never taken class and they're just brilliant. But, I mean, there's a select few. So, I mean, you have to work at it. I think that would be my number two goal for me. And then number three would be my animation demo. I've been wanting to do it one for the longest time. I just keep putting it off and putting it off, and I've been studying and studying and studying, and I'm not ready, because that one is going to be, like, it has to be brilliant. It has to be amazing. There's a lot of pressure for me to do well, mm-hmm. but it's good pressure, because I already have my commercial demo, and I know that I can do this. I'm almost there. I can feel the actor within me, like, just waiting to climb out and just, you know, jump into any role. So I'm very excited about that.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it when it's all done. It's going to be great.
Same. I can't wait to hear yours either.
Yeah. So what has been your biggest success in the industry so far?
I would definitely say animation and anime just because I think that's my strength, and that's not a bad thing, but I'm also self-conscious of it. I know that I constantly work at it. I'm constantly studying. I have a voice coach, and it's something that I keep working on. It's not going to be, you know, handed to me. I have to earn it, you know, so I think that would be a strength.
And how about your biggest challenge so far?
Not getting down on myself. I am a big component of, that's a shocker probably to a lot of actors, but it's so easy for us to just bring ourselves down and like, oh, was that good enough? Was that good enough? I'm a perfectionist, and I think I want everything to be perfect, and it's not. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to get better at whatever I'm doing, and I think that that's so important. That might be a biggest hurdle for me. Getting confidence is a strength. It's not, you know, a weakness. So
absolutely.
Getting confident, more confident, and the confident that I get, and that's only because of preparation, and preparation is from studying. So there's a definite effect for everything, and I think that the confidence will come. It's, I can do it. I can. And I think it's so easy to psych yourself out. It's so easy to shoot yourself in the foot, or it's so easy to say, you know, that's really hard for me, you know, but I think that that is going to get better. And again, like I said, it's just with confidence. And the more you study and the more prepared you are, you know, the better.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about social media. Which platforms do you use and why? And how do you feel about social media overall?
Right now, I'm not a big fan of social media. It's really important for your career. I didn't have to be on it, I wouldn't. But because it's like marketing, it's branding, it's, hey, I put out a new podcast, or hey, I put out a new show or a new whatever, YouTube channel, check it out. You know, it's free publicity.
Yeah.
And you are the CEO of your own company, and that makes you that much more of an asset to somebody. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know who you're going to talk to. I think it's brilliant because you can meet people and be on the other side of the country and have a genuine conversation, or there's like Facebook, for example. I'm not a big fan of it, but there's a lot of Facebook groups, and they're so great. You know, a lot of voiceover Facebook groups, I should note. There's just so many people. Hey, how do you do this? Oh, I would do that. I would, you know, do it like this, or I use this mic, or I use that. And we help each other. I think that's so cool. I think helping each other in this industry is the most important thing. And then I use Instagram. I like pictures and a little blurb. I think it shows a little bit more into my life.
Yeah.
You know, and
are
you,
how do you feel about all the hashtags and stuff like that on Instagram? Do you do that, or what do you think?
I do a little bit, but I try not to go like 20 words. So
yeah.
I cap it at like 5 hashtags or less.
Really?
I have a little method that I do.
Oh my gosh.
So I do when I'm on Instagram or Twitter, for example.
Yeah.
I write a little blurb, and then I use whoever I'm tagging in the blurb of the sentence. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I put my hashtags at the bottom after I finish my sentence. So yeah. There's a little mathematical formula, I suppose.
Right.
I kind of just went with it, and I was like, I'm going to do it this way. And I just did. So I've been doing it that way ever since. So, I mean, hashtags, they're great because then people can look at it and find it, and then it's on LinkedIn or it's on Facebook. Or
yeah.
It helps you become more known.
Exactly. It's a
community.
Bit different for each platform, though. Like, for Instagram, I feel like the hashtags are super important. I've heard people say you need anywhere from 12 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it was like, oh, you need 12 hashtags. Okay, great. And then they need to be, like, really focused. And then I've heard, nope, now you need 20. And I'm like, 20 hashtags? Like, what the heck? Like,
that's excessive.
Yeah. Sometimes I really go for it. Like, okay, hashtag VO, hashtag voiceover, hashtag
yeah,
afterlife,
I'll see
hashtag.
I'll see.
You know what
oh,
I mean?
I think Val's do.
Yeah. And then other times I'm, like, lazy, and I'm like, I'll only do, like, 14.
I cap it at a certain, like, 5 or,
yeah.
You know, 6. Like, because I just, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the hashtags, but I know
yeah.
that they're important, and I know that,
it is,
you know,
really important. You should test it out and see if it makes a difference. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Not followers, but, like, if it makes
followers
a difference.
And visibility, like, especially, mm-hmm. like, for me, like, so on my personal Instagram, which is private, that's, like, me as a voice actor, I only really let people follow me that I know. So I don't just mm-hmm. let anybody on there. So I'm not so concerned with the hashtags on my personal account because it's private, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. on my Mid-Atlantic VO one, it's my company, and it's like, my baby. So I'm like, hashtag everything. Like, you know? Sure. But it's so funny, you know, to hear the difference between all of the ones. And then if you think about like LinkedIn and you don't really want to put as many on there, but you want to put a few so that people can find you. I feel like Facebook, the hashtags are not as important on Facebook. And then on Twitter, you have to have a few. So there's my hashtag.
You got to have a few on Twitter and on Instagram. I think the other two are not as, I'm noticing nobody cares.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I still put it like a couple, like two or three. And then, you know, Facebook, I've started putting hashtags, even though I don't think it matters. But I think the other two ones are really important. And I was like, who would care about a hashtag? But I guess they do.
Yeah, I think visibility wise, it's easier to find things. So I think that's what's important about it. Social media is so crazy. I mean, we could go on for hours about it, but
I'm sure we could.
Yeah, you're on all the platforms, right? So LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram
those are the
main
four.
I would definitely say that Instagram and Twitter are probably more my top two that I use.
Yeah,
but
cool.
The other two are kind of like, LinkedIn's more professional, so I keep it professional. I don't talk about anything I don't need to not talk about.
That's not, right, exactly.
You know, if it's personal, I don't talk about it. Facebook, you know, I'll mention about my podcast or I'll mention things about that I've booked or, you know, if I ran a half marathon or whatever it is, you know, so things like that.
Cool. All right, so what advice would you give to voice actors just starting out?
You will hear the word no a lot, all the time. It happens to me. You will hear the word no more often than you will hear the word yes. However, don't get discouraged by that. You know, it's part of the process. It's part of growing as an actor. Just don't let it get to you. I know it's hard. I've gotten a lot of rejections, and I'm like, eh. When I first started, I was like, oh my gosh. But I've learned to like, oh well, whatever. So just let it go. Don't let it consume you, because I did that for the first couple of years, and I can tell you it was bad. So don't do what I did. Just audition and let it go, and just realize that you can do this.
So beyond social media, what do you do to market yourself as a voice actor?
I have a website, and I use that quite heavily. I update it as much as I can, and the nice thing about it is I have a Wix platform that I use, and it's really nice. I have everything on there, to my podcasts, to client work, to my demo, and all that stuff, and I think that's really, really important, because then when you can showcase that on social media or whatever it is, then it allows you to be more marketable if you have a website. I know there's a lot of people out there that still don't, and that's fine. But I think it's helpful for you. Can't hurt. I would definitely say that, having that. And then I've been trying to figure out about these emailing and everything like that. I don't like cold calling because I think that's a bit excessive. But
yeah,
I was taking a couple Lisa Biggs webinars, and she was talking about that. And I was like, I think I need to revisit that and watch it again and kind of, you know, try it.
She's definitely a pro when it comes to marketing. Like, she really has her.
Yeah, I'm not a pro at it, but I can get there. But I just need to, now that we have this time to stay home, I will definitely try it and see what happens.
Yeah, totally. So you have your own podcast called Voice Acting with Veronica Barrera. So everyone should go and listen to that. And how has that been so far? Would you have any advice for fellow podcasters?
It was definitely hard in the beginning, and I made a lot of mistakes. I was not as polished. But it was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of research, a lot of homework, a lot of trying this, that didn't work, trying that, that didn't work. But I think what I really liked about it, it was kind of like journalism. And I was like, no, this isn't journalism. And then I thought about it, and I said, yeah, I'm kind of a journalist. I have guests on my show, and I would research them and like, okay, what are they up to? Ooh, they did that. I put that in the intro. Ooh, they did that. Every podcast is different from the last one because I try to switch up the questions. I cater to them.
Totally.
And for me, I was like, this is kind of exciting. I don't know. It's kind of like...
It's so exciting. I love it. Like, I love talking to people and figuring out how they got started and hearing their stories. And it's so much fun.
I think to fellow podcasters, pick something you're passionate about. The reason why I did mine was I wanted to give back to the voiceover community. I wanted to help educate them and prepare them, because I wish I had this knowledge when I wanted to get into it. And nobody really told me. I found out along the way, and I was like, you know, this would be kind of cool. So that's kind of why I did it, and I like helping people. That was basically it, and I just kind of went from there, so yeah.
Awesome. So tell us your website so that people can get in touch, and also your social media handles so that they can get in touch with you, and your podcast, there's a link to it on your website so people can go and check that out. But tell us your info so we can put it in the link here as well.
My website is veronicabarrera.com. And I'll spell out my name because it's probably tricky, or it'll be, I'm sure, in the show notes. My last name is Barrera. So veronicabarrera.com, and I'll have all my podcasts on there and client work on there and demos on there too. So my Twitter handle is at VLBarrera_VO. And then my Instagram handle is at VLBarrera. I also have Facebook, it's Veronica Barrera, and then LinkedIn, it's Veronica Barrera.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today. It was an honor to have you on my show, and I can't wait to hear about what you do next. So I wish you the best of luck with everything.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Live with Squacky is mixed and mastered by everybody's favorite voiceover tech, Uncle Roy Yokelson of Antland Productions.